Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise to anger and stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. For on the gospel armor, each piece put on in prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting them. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Be the rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. In you, O Lord, your hands I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. Make your face to shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for our Quinquagesima Sunday, the last Sunday of pre-Lent, is written in the 16th chapter of the prophet Samuel, his first book, beginning at the first verse. The Lord said to Samuel, How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord, and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, Do you come peacefully? And he said, Peacefully, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to me to sacrifice. And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse said to Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass. And he said, Neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, The Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, Are all your sons here? And he said, There remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, Send and get him, for we do not sit down till he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had a beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You are the good, you are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The epistle lesson is written in the 13th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, beginning at the first verse. If I speak in the tongue of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to burn, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. And now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall be known fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Alleluia. 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 The Holy Gospel is written in the 18th chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the 31st verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Taking the 12, Jesus said unto them, See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man and the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered up to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spat upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. And as he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And they cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought unto him. And when he drew near, he asked him, What do you want me to do to you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. My own good works availed me not. No merit they attained. Free will against God's judgment fought. Death to all good remaining. My fears increased till shed despair. Left but death to share. To me he spake, hold fast to me. I am thy rock and castle. Thy ransom I myself will be. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Mercy. We all want it, don't we? We all want mercy. But we don't like to extend it to each other. But we want it. Oh, how we want it. We desire it. It's sweeter than sugar, isn't it? Sweeter than honey when you get it. But we don't like to give it to others. And yet mercy is the major theme in today's gospel lesson. Mercy, right? Mercy. The begging blind man asks for it. He demands it, in fact. He cannot be silenced. People try to silence him, right? They do, unsuccessfully. And yet he will not be ignored because he knows that his need for mercy is too great. So is ours. We're just blind to it, aren't we? It's ironic that in scriptures, it's often the blind who see better than those with sight. And yet, really, what is mercy, right? I mean, what is it? I mean, we want it, but what is it? And why is it that we're so unwilling to extend it to others, right? Because if we honestly ask ourselves, what is it, and are we willing to extend it to others, I mean, I think the answer is something we don't really want to acknowledge. Is it? Eleos, mercy. Eleos is a pathos, right? It's a pathos in Greek. It's an emotion roused by undeserved affliction, or at least affliction that we think is undeserved, though mostly it is deserved, right? Mostly we do things every day and that we offend each other by, right? And then, of course, we leave the church because we're offended by the parishioners, the pastor, each other. Somebody said something to me they shouldn't have said, or they said it in a way they should have done it. They engaged in hyperbolic, exaggeration when they maybe should have been more measured. You know, and the chances of everyone in this room doing it to each other is 100% if you extend the timeline out long enough. 100%. And that's why we need Eleos. That's why we need mercy. That's why we need it. I mean, I need it. And y'all need it. We all need it. Right? Because we think it's undeserved. We think the affliction that we're being put upon us is undeserved. And yet, is it undeserved? In the Septuagint, the Greek Old Testament, which was really the operative Bible until Nicaea, it denotes an attitude of acknowledging, right, or arising out of a mutual relationship. So that Eleos, mercy, is something which is bound up in relationships, right? The human relatives, you know, family members, right? Family members are required to extend to each other mercy. Hosts are required to extend mercy to their guests, and guests to their host, employers to their employees, employees to their employers, right? Those who are in contract to each other are also supposed to temper that contract with mercy. It is an action rather than a disposition. And trust is the basis of mercy. You know, I'm merciful to you because I trust you. You're merciful to me because you trust me. It's intrinsic between the government and those who are the governed. Right? Teacher to his students or her students. A student to their teacher. A parent to their children. Children to their parents. And so on and so forth. And bound up with mercy, or the Hebrew word chesed, is the idea of grace as well. That part of mercy is grace. And what is grace? Grace is where we extend to others things that they do not deserve. Right? You know, this is Black History Month, so I was over at Page and Pallet, and I picked up Up from Slavery. It's by Booker T. Washington. You know, he was actually a slave. Did you know that? In Virginia, he was actually on a plantation. A real slave. And you know what he said? He said something really interesting. I was reading it Thursday. I had to go to Mobile for a meeting. I'm sitting there before the meeting. I'm reading this book. And I started weeping because he said, you know, he's a little boy and he's a slave. And he said, you know, none of us condemned the white masters. We felt sorry for them because we saw how slavery degraded them. And it saddened us. And I know of no one who does not share my opinion. See, the reason why we're to show mercy and grace to each other is because the sins that we engage in degrade us. And we victimize others, but it's destroying us as well. And we need to perceive that. And that's why we forgive each other, and that's why we have mercy on each other, because we have to understand that, yes, I have a right of revenge, but I give up that right. Because I see through God's eyes that sin is destroying you more than it's even destroying me. The man cries out for mercy. He's outside Jericho and he's crying out for mercy. Not because he deserves it, but because he needs it. And it's interesting that he prefaces his request with Jesus, son of David. He, he's told that it's Jesus of Nazareth. Now, that's very interesting theologically because Nazareth is in Galilee, and Galilee was part of Ephraim. It's part of the northern kingdom, right? It's not Judea. And yet Jesus, you know, Jesus is the son of David. By calling him the son of David, he's saying that Jesus is a direct descendant of the king of Judah, because David was king of Judah before he became king of Israel. And so he's claiming close kinship with Jesus. He's saying, you are my king, you are my ruler, you are my close kin, you are obligated to give me mercy. In other words, this blind man, this anonymous blind man on the outskirts of Jericho, perceives, he sees clearly who Jesus is, when those around him who have eyesight are blind to it. And he grasps correctly Jesus' true mission, which is mercy. I mean, Jesus didn't die on a cross because we deserve it. He did it out of mercy. And so did this blind man, we have to ask. Again, like, did he deserve God's intervention in his life? No, he didn't. Neither do we. But we know God will intervene. Right? That's why it's grace. That's why it's chesed, right? It's caught up with the chesed idea of grace and mercy. We know this because God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You all know that verse. It's one of the few verses most people do know. But that intervention is not deserved, which is something we need to hold before our eyes, especially when we look at our brother or our sister whom we do not want to forgive. We don't, do we? We pray all the time for God's healing. We pray all the time for his intervention in our lives and our troubles and our challenges. We desire his mercy. I know I do. I desire it all the time. And yet I'm reminded that he's not obligated to help me. Why? Because I am not merciful to those around me. I have not been merciful. I know I haven't. Right? I mean, Jesus makes very clear in Matthew chapter 7 that whatever you want man to do to you, you shall also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is literally the Torah and the rest of the Old Testament is doing unto others as you want them to do unto you. Just treat them the way you want to be treated. Right? Yeah, so when we sin, when we make mistakes, I want to be forgiven. Don't we all? That's the reason why in Luke 6:31, St. Luke records Jesus saying almost the same thing. And just as you want man to do to you, also do to them. Yes, as Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that's the reason why the epistle lesson, right, 1 Corinthians 13, is all about love. What is love? Love is all about the other. So why am I so selfish? Why are we so selfish? And that selfishness is manifested most clearly in the fact that we don't want to extend to others the mercy that they need but do not deserve. Right? And so this creates for us a dilemma, does it not? Because who is the greatest sinner in our lives? We are. Right. I mean, we just confessed it together, you know, in unison. We just said that, you know, we are all poor, miserable sinners, right? That we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we do and by what we don't do, etc. That's true, isn't it? I mean, objectively, it's true. Well, that's a problem, because if you don't forgive your brother his sins or his trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you yours. And that's Jesus, Matthew 6, look it up. It's right after the Lord's Prayer. Because you see, if somebody says they love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother. How can he love his brother who, if he does not love his brother who he sees, has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And that's 1 John 4:20. I mean, John knew Jesus. Right? John knew Jesus. And so, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's what God is saying to you through John, who did not desert Jesus at the cross, by the way. He was at the cross. He was there. He saw it. He was an eyewitness. All the other ones left. They all deserted, but not John. And he says, if you love God if you hate your brother. Right? And that's why Jesus says to us in Matthew 9 and Luke 5:31 as well, he says, go and learn what this means. Learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. In other words, if we want to give God something that he really wants, right? Because if you love somebody, you want to give them the things they want, right? You don't want to give them stuff they don't want. You and I say we love God, oh, I love Jesus, I love God. Well, then we have to learn that God wants, he desires that we give each other mercy. We're merciful to each other. Because we all need it so much. Because in 1 Timothy 1:15, Jesus makes it clear that he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, Paul says. Yes, Paul, who claims to be the chief of sinners, right, is inspired by the Holy Spirit to refer himself as the greatest of sinners. Why? Because like the blind man crying outside the city of Jericho, he understands that there is no solution for him outside of Christ. And that's true for me as well. That's true for y'all, for all of us. And we don't like that, do we? I know I don't. That's why we hold grudges. As long as we're focusing on everybody else, we don't have to deal with our own nonsense. Right? I know that's how I do things often, to my shame. Because Scripture is very clear. The price of Jesus' mercy must be paid. Jesus saves us by grace through faith and not of works. But understand, that free gift of salvation, that is not free to him. No, it costs Jesus everything. He gives us everything because he gave up everything for us. He is able to extend to us his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace because at the cross, when Jesus hung on the cross, God the Father gave him no mercy. There's no grace. He was born into a life where he would see no grace. That's why he makes it very clear that the Son of Man will be taken to Jerusalem. All things that are written in the prophets concerning the Son of Man will happen. He will be delivered to the Gentiles. He will be mocked, insulted, spat upon. They will scourge him and they will kill him. Because that's what we deserve. That's what I deserve. That's what we deserve. Because of our sins. So the crucifixion is where Jesus pays forward the mercy that he extends now to us. Yes, it's the cost of Jesus' mercy. We who are blind to our need for it, Jesus saw it, and so he went and he died. Because God is a just judge, and he must punish sin, and that sin must be punished somewhere. And so Jesus took it upon himself so that he can give us his mercy. And so when Jesus says to the blind man, receive your sight, your faith has made you well, that miracle is paid for ultimately by Jesus' own blood upon the cross. And so today, we too stand beneath Jesus' cross. And we cry out for mercy, and we find it because Jesus' death and his resurrection sealed it. In Jesus' name, amen. my bones. Be with you. Lord Jesus, receive these gifts to the service of an altar and the preaching of thy holy gospel. In your name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. I'd just like to welcome all of you this morning. It's nice to have you all here. Note the blue news for the week. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. And there will be three opportunities to receive ashes and communion, 11 a.m. here, 2 p.m. at Concordia in Montrose, and then at 6 o'clock in the evening back here at Redeemer. There will be no catechism or confirmation classes, no meal, all that is not happening. You're on your own for that this week. But then after this week, there will be Lenten services. Matins in the morning, 11, and then also Vespers in the evening. And there will be a meal and youth and catechism, all those things are going on for the rest of Lent, but just not Ash Wednesday. And just kind of note all those things and the rest of what's in the blue news. And then just one prayer request that I'm going to let you all know about is that this week, the Reverend Bob Leidick from Panama City, he's preached here before in the past, he died, and his funeral was on Thursday. So just wanted to let you all know about that, and just keep Mrs. Leidick and the folks out there in your prayers. Lord be with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord for the peace that is from above and for the well-being of the churches of Christ. And the godly unity of all Christendom, let us pray to the Lord. for this holy house and for those who in faith, piety, and the fear of God offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. For Matthew and Eric, our shepherds and bishops in Christ, for all pastors and teachers and all people, let us pray to the Lord. For the United States and all of our people, for Joe, our president, the Congress of the United States, for Kay, our governor, and the legislature of Alabama, for judges and magistrates and all who serve in public office, let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and the sorrowing, for those who mourn, for those who are in need and distress, for the homebound and the infirm, especially we pray this day for Alice and Woody and Cloyce, for Brandy and Jim, for Deborah and Artie, for Melissa and Becca, Joyce, and for Mary and Mark and Eddie and Norma, for Kim and Suzette, for Jim and Bonnie, Shirley and Chris, for Elmer and Sugar, for Janice and Taylor, Melissa and Danny, Tara and Melissa, for Gray and Bob, Meredith and James, George and Larry, Dean and Earl, Suzette and Bob, Mallory and Mark, Hank and Jay, Tracy and Michelle, Carl and Karen, Jimmy and Tina, Ainsley and Kevin, Ron and Jesse, Theo and Easton and Waylon and Ryan. And we also pray for the families of our parish who mourn, especially the Tatum and Rogers family, the Faust and Callie's families, the Todd family, the Bolton family, the Grice and Heil family. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those in service to our country's armed forces, especially we pray this day for Riley and Paul, Hayden and Paul, and we pray for all of our university students, including Minnie and Aiden, Jacob and Kelsey and Mia. We pray, Heavenly Father, also for those to whom death is drawing near and for us all, that when our last hour shall come, we may depart this life with the confidence of the sure faith, the consolation of our right, devout and holy hope, and in the communion of Christ's holy church, let us pray to the Lord. Recalling those who have gone before us in the faith and rejoicing to share with them the Sabbath rest which Christ has won for his people, that together with them we may be found faithful in the day of judgment and rejoice in the day of the resurrection of the dead, let us pray to the Lord. We pray finally this day for the family of Bob Leidick, Pastor Robert Leidick, who was buried on Thursday. Have compassion, O Lord, upon all who mourn and upon all who are lonely and desolate because of the death of Robert Leidick, thy servant. Be thou their comforter and friend, and give unto them such earthly solace as thou seekest to be best for them, and bring them to a full knowledge of thy love, and wipe away all their tears for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.